Good to see you all. One good thing about COVID and online service is we get to see people from different countries tune in. And I hope somehow, even after our services begin, we can still somehow have a way to keep in touch with all of you. That's been such a pleasant surprise, unexpected surprise. That's true of ministry too. I'm actually teaching on every Friday a course in India. And that would have been something I would have never thought of a year ago, where I could be teaching real classes here Monday through Friday, and then teaching a class in India on Thursday, and then teaching a class in India on Friday. So I think there are some good things that have happened. But I'll return to today's sermon. The title of the sermon is "When the Ziphites Don't Zip Their Mouth." Okay, now you'll understand that why in a moment, when the Ziphites don't zip their mouth. Now, in this particular case, the Ziphite may be actually Andrew, but we will see that as we go through the whole psalm that we have. Now, there is also a subtitle that is called Misplaced Trust. And I liked Momo playing the song, Psalm 23, and Jim reading the psalm for us. I must say, Psalm 23 was not written during the COVID time or when David was running around. I am pretty sure David wrote Psalm 23. This is just purely guess. Rick could probably disagree with me. He wrote it at a comfortable of his palace with no army around him. So then he thinks of and says, "The Lord is my shepherd." But what we will see today, though, even in trials, even in difficult circumstances, we need to learn to trust the proper person. We often seem to trust other people. I tell you what I trusted that drove me in the path that's not where I should be, where I should not have been. First, I trusted in medicine. I thought within a week, within a month, they will come up with a vaccine or medical treatment, and this COVID would just be gone by February 28th. Well, that came and went, and we still don't have a vaccination. Then I thought, well, maybe I can trust the governments. Because the governments are awesome. They're all brilliant people and they would solve all my problem. Well, not really. We still have millions affected and several have died. Well, then I thought I can trust my Christian friends. But then they are as crazy as me, Momo and I put together. You have a crazy church. I have crazy students. There are a few very solid people like Jim, Rick, and Matt. I don't know what kind of vitamins that they take, but they don't tell us about it. So we are all nuts. So we can't trust fellow Christian. I've been talking with a friend of mine named Chuck. He's in Memphis. He writes me every single day. And every single day he writes me really encouraging things. And I thought Chuck was like Rick, Jim, and Matt, like nothing is upsetting him. So yesterday I thought I'll ask him, "Hey Chuck, how are you handling all these things? You don't seem to be shaken." He kind of had a smiley face a couple of times, and then he says, "I just don't tell you about it. I am a basket case." And I thought, if Chuck is a basket case, Rick, Jim, and Matt either know how to hide it from us, or they have actually got to Psalm 54 way before Andrew got to Psalm 54. Now, the Psalm 54, the reason I titled "When the Ziphites Don't Zip Their Mouth" is when you look at the title of the Psalm 54, it says to the choir master with stringed instruments, a maskil of David. I've been calling it a mikteim because that's a Hebrew word. Hebrew word mikteim means a silent prayer. It's just like a lid to a song. And it goes on to say, when the Ziphites went and told Saul, "Is not David hiding among us?" Now that's very important to fully understand that in order to understand the Psalms. David, as you know, had been anointed by God to be the next king while the land has the king Saul. So Saul is chasing after David, trying to kill him. What's ironic is when you read it in 1 Samuel 23, you will find out that Saul's own son, Jonathan, hey, we have a Jonathan in our church, right? Jonathan makes a treaty with David and says, "I will give you the kingdom when my dad dies. I know you are the anointed king." The normal system is for their father to pass the kingdom down to the son, and I, Jonathan, should get it. But I know how God works. He chose you. And because he chose you, I will not fight against God or against you. I will fight against my dad and give you the kingdom. That's how friend Jonathan was to David. But yet, David had to run around and hide. And we saw a story a couple of weeks ago where he even goes and hides in Saul's enemy's camp, thinking, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But they too betray him. So now that brings us to the Ziphites. Ziphites is one of those groups to whom David goes and hides. But instead of protecting David, God's anointed king, Ziphites go to Saul and say, "Hey, David is hiding among us." Right? And that's why I call it the Ziphites. When they don't zip their mouth, you get into trouble. These Ziphites should have hid their mouth. Now, why did David trust them? Well, here is a clue. You need to take Dr. Rick's Old Testament theology to find this. Mr. Zip, Z-I-P-H, is the grandson of Caleb. Now, you remember the name Caleb? Caleb and Joshua were two of the spies that went as the people were entering the promised land. The other one is Joshua and Caleb. They both went in, and a lady named Rahab hid the spies. So Caleb knew what it is to be hidden by a lady so that his life may be protected. So Caleb told his son, whenever enemies come, even then you protect them when God is on their side, just as Rahab hid me and Joshua. And his son would have told Mr. Zip, "We have the name Zip because when people come, we zip our mouth and hide them." Now that's not really true, but it matches my sermon title, right? They lived in a place called Zip, and that's how they are, the Ziphites. But they are grandkids of Caleb, who knew what it is to run away from an enemy and to be hidden and protected. So David goes to a group of people that benefited by somebody closing their mouth and being hidden, Caleb, and who knew the value of secrecy. And so David went and hid, but they did not zip their mouth. They instead marched straight to Saul and said, "Hey, we know where David is. He is in our town. Please come and get him." Instead of hiding him, protecting him, God's anointed, they badmouthed him. They betrayed him. They told on him. There were a couple of things in my life in the last couple of months, and I am guilty. when I get a little upset, I say things that comes to my mind. I don't have a good filtering system. What I found is at first, my friends were tolerant. And in open, many are still continuing to be tolerant. But there were a few who I thought I could trust who verbally told me, anything you say is confident. We believe in total freedom. We believe in grace. And then privately, they scolded me. And I felt just like David during this time. I thought I can trust them. That's why I opened my heart and told them how I feel. But then they betray me. Yeah. And I think that's exactly what David felt. So he is making this silent prayer. And the silent prayer has three parts. Verses 1 and 2 is a cry to God for help. Verse 3 is the complaint, and then 4 through 7 in confidence in God. For all of you who teach preaching, I actually found a title with 3 C's. So you should give me an A+ for alliteration, right? I don't usually do that. I cry to God for help, followed by a complaint, and then a confidence in God. So let's start with the cry for help. Oh God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. Oh God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. There are times in our lives, I just had a text by one of our members saying, getting overwhelmed with everything, difficult to focus. Now, that's one of our own church members. He's in that private conversation with me at this time. We all feel overwhelmed, but there's one person who doesn't betray confidence. He zips his mouth, to whom we can always cry out, oh God, save me by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Oh God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Now, God is the kind of God who always listens, right? And so it's not like we have to wake him up. I have said this story to you before, between my house in India and the airport that we had to go to fly out, there is this temple. And when you drive by that temple, you toss money in. And when you toss money in, they put firecrackers. And the reason they put firecrackers is their God often goes to sleep. So they had to put a firecracker and wake him up so that he can hear the prayer of the devotee. We don't need to put firecrackers. Please don't do it. In Singapore, you may get into trouble if you start tossing firecrackers in church. But at the same time, we can boldly say, Lord, it seems like you don't hear me. Please hear my prayer. Please give ear to the words of my mouth, even though he always does hear. Then the complaint, for strangers have risen against me, ruthless men seeking my life. They do not set God before themselves. Now, he says they are strangers. He says they are ruthless, but that's his expression of his emotion. These are actually Caleb's children, right? Caleb and Joshua, Caleb's grandkids. So they're really not strangers. They're really not ruthless men. But at this moment, David feels that way because they did not protect him. They did not hide him, like Rahab hid their grandfather Caleb, and protect David at this moment. So there are times we do think of, you love other people and say, oh, they are strangers, they are ruthless men, they are against me, they don't stand in front of God. But those are just mere expressions of how we feel. They may actually be really good people. But I want to focus on the latter part. And that is the confidence in God. David returns in verse 4 and says, "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eyes has looked in triumph on my enemies." That's full confidence. Now, what I want to tell you is, when you can read in First Samuel, where after this whole incident happened, there is a cliff on which, on the other side, is Saul and his army chasing David. On this side is David running away from them. So this is not a time to stop and say, "Hey, I'll sit and relax because God is my helper." David is running. And that's why he is saying a silent prayer. But in the midst of his running with the enemy pursued on the other side of the fence, he still says, "God is my helper." He still says, "The Lord is the upholder of my life." He still says, "When the right time comes, I will give him a freewill offering. I will give thanks to the Lord, O Lord." And he still has the confidence that God has delivered me from every trouble. Imagine that. This is not something he is saying in the palace, in the comfort of his home, with no war, no enemies, trumpets playing, people dancing. He is saying this as he is running away from his enemy on a parallel course. And he would do this for several more years before he finally has his kingdom, finally has his rest. But yet he can say, "God has delivered me from every trouble, and my eyes have looked in triumph on the enemies." And that's bold confidence. Yeah. And I think that's what keeps Christians going in the midst of our trials. Sure, we have enemies. Sure, it seems like God does not care. God doesn't listen to our voices, but he does. But that is a very important thing for us to keep in mind, though. Think of the title of the sermon, Misplaced Trust. Where is our trust? If we trust the Ziphites, they don't zip their mouth. They will betray us. The trust must always be on the Lord. As we go through this COVID season, do not trust medicine. As much as we are grateful for medicine, I'm still hoping for a vaccination. I'm still hoping for people like Dr. Cynthia to rescue us in times of trouble. I'm still hoping there are cure. But yet, our trust shouldn't be fully on science and on medicine. I'm still trusting Singapore government's choices of having the mask on, 1 meter apart, 30 people in church. Those are all good things. I'm still trusting that's what protecting me. But I don't fully put my trust in any government. It would be putting our trust on the Ziphites, and they don't zip their mouth. Misplaced trust. I also place my trust on my ability to cope through this crisis. No, I didn't have the strength. I've been a Christian over, I think, 35 years. But I think this one caught me off guard. Even to this day, I don't know what went wrong. I wish I could tell what went wrong. But from day one, I just went down a spiral, could not get over it. I am coming over it. I have, I think, turned around the corner. Lori doesn't think so, but I think I have. Yeah, hopefully I have. But I must say to you, Psalm 54 had been my right-hand fellowship, right-hand companion, because it was reminding me again and again, don't trust the Ziphites. They will let you down. Don't trust the enemy of my enemy. They will let me down. Don't trust priests and other people like David did with Ahimelech. They will let you down. The only person who you could totally trust and he would never let you down is our Lord God. Now, there is a line in verse 6 that says, I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. But I want to change that verse slightly to make it more personal. And that is, I will make you known, O Lord, for you are good. It's not only the name of the Lord is good, the Lord is good. I will make you known, O Lord, because you are good. When you can trust the Ziphites, when you can trust anything that goes around you, and then you feel so like enemies are oppressing you, life has taken a horrible turn, which it has for so many people. Yesterday, I received a letter from the school that I teach in Nepal, and the administrator said, 20 people commit suicide every single day in Nepal. 20 people. Yeah, and I would think that's true. Even in our own neighborhood in Singapore, here, 2 people have committed suicide since COVID had started. And I don't know what's happening in India, except my Indian friend who is a pastor writes and says the pastors and Christian workers are putting them up front. And as a result, they are dying in left and right. Yeah, this is going to be a horrible day. Horrible season. I think one day we would look back and say, what a damage it had done. And there's only one person to trust. Anyone else we would trust would be a misplaced trust. It took me 6 to 8 months to learn that lesson. Hopefully it won't take you that long. I've been told I'm a little hard-headed. I think that's the reason it took me. But I want to leave you with this one final thought. Put your trust wholly on him. Not only in this time of COVID, but for your afterlife, for life after life, for eternal life. It's very simple. All you need to say to the Lord is, you are my Lord. I surrender my life to you. And then he would carry us through even if very bad things happen to us. Let's not be like David and put the trust in the Ziphites. But let's be like David, who learned at the very end, God alone is to be trusted. I will make you known, O Lord, for you are good. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to make this journey not on our own, or not by trusting anyone else, but by only trusting you. For you are good. You are our good shepherd. You are our good Lord. You care for us, even when it sounds like you are silent. You care for us. You who began a good work in us will finish. You will carry us on. Even if it is afterlife, to that side, you would always be with us. Help us to trust you at all times and trust no one else as much as we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.